Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, here we go. Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports.
Oh, yeah, the time is now.
I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. And we're on a special night, we're on a Wednesday night, so not to throw you guys off, but sometimes we do this every now and then, just kind of get a nice little change. But today, it is a Wednesday edition of Talking Sports with 12 minutes. Today is Wednesday, the 27th, and as mentioned, we got a lot of fun things to talk about. Man, March Madness, NFL, basketball, big news as far as the Heat. Without further ado, I want to jump into my co-host and check in with Mr. Rob Ford. How you doing, Rob?
Doing great, man. Doing great. I'm actually doing a show from the City of Angels, Los Angeles, tonight.
Appreciate you checking in, too, man. So all is well. So we'll keep it going. So I guess without further ado, we got a lot of things to get into. I'm going to throw out the numbers for those who want to call in. Check in the number to call the show if you want to add your thoughts. It's 424-243-9519. Don't forget to also follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports, as well as on Facebook. You got Talking Sports with 12 Man, which is at 12 Man Sports as well. So you got a lot of ways to contact us. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Man, so I don't know if you heard, Rob, the Bulls and the Heat game was tonight, and the question was, does the streak continue? And I don't know if you know what happened. The Heat actually had their first loss here. Well, not their first loss, but they actually have their first loss for the streak. So, man, big news. So what are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, actually, I would like to give congrats to the Bulls and the Heat. I guess congratulations to the Bulls for ending the Miami Heat streak. And, a lot of people were wondering if the streak was going to get to 33. And obviously, the Bulls went ahead and ended it at 27. But also congrats to the Heat. It's still an incredible accomplishment with 27 straight wins in a row and second longest in NBA history. And that's an incredible feat. I mean, that streak lasted over, if I'm not mistaken, 50-something days or a little bit close to 2 months. So that's a long time to go without a loss when you're playing basketball games 3 to 4 nights a week. And so it came up a little bit short on the streak, but now the Heat can finally concentrate more so on their ultimate goal, which would be winning a championship.
So I guess the world of Wade, wow, has been stopped a little bit right now, huh?
Yeah, it's it's interesting. You know, in some cases, in some cases, the Heat look like they play better without Dwayne Wade sometimes. And
wow.
It's going to be real interesting to see how they, construct that team going forward. And but I do think Dwayne Wade is having a great year. But in some cases, they seem to play better without him. And even the last couple of games that he's missed, you know, they've been kind of on target. But, the Bulls normally play the Heat tough. And so that's a big win. The NBA is such a mental grind. To be able to win 27 games in a row is pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. It is. I'm going to actually call myself Whoa, the world of Andre highlights, man. So just something to think about, man. So that's something you can take with you, man, too. So there you go. Whoa, come on, man. Do you like that? Whoa, world of Andre highlights. Let's keep it going. This is pretty interesting, kind of related to where you are in California, that the Sacramento City Council agrees to build a brand new arena to kind of keep the Kings in Sacramento. Do you think this is going to help? Are they going to keep this or what?
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be a battle, and I hate to see any city lose their organization, and I'm actually rooting for both cities. And, as strange as that may sound, I'm rooting for Sacramento to keep their team, but I'm rooting for Seattle to get an NBA franchise. But I'm hoping it's the route of the NBA expanding into Seattle. I think they're ready for basketball. They seem to have a guy in place there that's to be a great owner. and they have plans to build on a great arena. It was such a great NBA city for a long time, and you would like to see that supersonic name back in the league. And, you know, I don't know if that's in the NBA's plans, but I think it may be time to consider, you know, expanding by one more franchise, keep the Kings in Sacramento, and let's add another organization to the league by bringing the Seattle Supersonics back.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm kind of in the mindset that we should definitely bring another city or bring another team to Seattle. I mean, you know, not necessarily the Kings, but make that happen. You feel bad that Seattle originally lost the team, so, you know, I'm kind of torn on both sides too. But hopefully the NBA will get it right, and hopefully Seattle will get a team, man. So that's something that I want to pass along too. So we'll see how that plays out for sure.
Absolutely.
As we move along, we are just ripping and running here. We're going to talk about who's going to get the last playoff seed in the West. We got a couple of options. I love how you got the Lakers, the Mavs, or the Jazz. And at this juncture, Rob, it's been a pretty interesting go as we get down to the final stretch run here. I'm actually thinking the Lakers are, you know, with the injury to Metal World Peace, I think that's going to hurt them, man. So I don't know if they're actually going to make the playoffs, and that's something surprising. But they look like they're in danger of not making the playoffs, sir.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And in a lot of cases this year, Metal World Peace has quietly been the second best player on that team, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You can make an argument to Dwight Howard, but in a lot of cases, he has been the second best player on that team. And so it's I think that's going to be a huge loss for the Lakers, absolutely. And talent-wise, they obviously look like they're the team to beat for that spot. But watch the Dallas Mavericks. They've won about 3 or 4 games in a row. They're playing good basketball here in the last 10 games. That will be the team I think you ought to watch for that last spot. But I'm going to go ahead and say I still think the Lakers are going to get the last spot.
Yeah, I think the Lakers are imploding, man. I think Dallas is going to actually pull it out, man. So we'll see how that plays out for sure. But that's who I'm picking to win that, too. I think the Lakers have overcome a lot. I don't know if they have that to keep going.
Well, I hope you're right.
Man.
I'm not a Lakers fan.
I know. We all know how much you love Kobe. Let's keep it going here. Who will be the number 2 seed in the East? And this is pretty interesting right now because if I'm looking at the current record, it's pretty much a close race between the Knicks and Indiana. And the way that Indiana's been, I mean, New York has won like 6 straight games, Rob. I mean, they've been on a really good roll. But Indiana's been on a nice little roll, too. So, you know, right now, the way the Knicks are playing, man, you definitely got to love them as far as being that number 2 seed.
Yeah, I would. I totally agree with you. Indiana is struggling with some injuries right now. Paul George a little dinged up, David West dinged up, George Hill dinged up, and they were playing extremely well prior to these injuries. But right now, I would have to agree, the Knicks on the road, they've won 6 in a row, and right now they look like the sure bet to be the number 2 team in the Eastern Conference and playing good ball. They had gotten into a slump, but they've kind of worked themselves out of it and now on a mini streak here. And now, actually, the longest winning streak in the league now that the Heat have lost.
See if they can string away. No, they don't have time to string away that. But, yeah, good. It's good for New York to be playing well and get all that publicity. So you got to like what they're doing. So, you know, got to give them some love, too. Look at Mike Lindsay doing this thing, too. So it is what it is.
Yeah, you have to love
here.
That as a former Hawk, huh?
I know. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Let's keep it going here. Those who want to call the show once again, the number to call it's 424-239-5519. Rob, we're just keep going, man. We're having some fun with this. Talking sports with 12 man on this Wednesday special edition. And let's kind of talk about some fantasy shout-outs. So I'm going to throw it to you, Rob, and we'll get some fantasy shout-outs and get this in for the part of the show.
Once again, I know we're in the last few weeks of the NBA basketball season, and Anthony Davis, the new number 23, that's Ronald. From the New Orleans area, is holding down a first-place spot in our fantasy basketball league. And he actually looks like he's running away with it. So congrats to him. Season not over yet. We'll still compete. But right now he's holding down a lead. And in our NCAA tournament bracket challenge, a good buddy of mine, Chris Johnson, naming himself the Bracket Doctor. He's holding on a first place, and he's in the Dallas area, holding on a first place spot in our NCAA tournament challenge.
The Bracket Doctor, for real? Is that his name, for real, the Bracket Doctor?
Yeah, but Bracket Doctor, you're right. But we're gonna have to beat him so he won't have to live up to that name.
Wow.
But congrats
to
him for leading after the first weekend.
gotcha. Well, good job. You know, obviously we got a lot of things to talk about. I know that we'll get to baseball because baseball season is right around the corner too. But let's talk about some more NFL, some news. We've got some big news as far as the Chargers. And they actually have released their left tackle, Jared Gaither, and it saves them about $6 million in the cap, man. So I don't know if you want to comment on this or any other interesting moves that have been made over the past couple of days here.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised that it took this long, to be honest with you, Jared Gaither. I think it's been speculated for quite some time that they're going to release him. I think there'll be some few teams lined up for him here. Obviously, they're going to want to pay him a lot less than what he was expected to make with the Chargers. But I think this was expected for quite some time. He didn't live up to expectations in San Diego here the last couple of years. And, not as of right now, I really expect the Chargers to really be looking at an offensive tackle here early on in this draft. Possibly Lane Johnson from Oklahoma. I can really see them going that route to kind of replace him as well. But this was a move that was speculated quite some time ago. And just surprised that it took this long for it to happen.
Wow. So it is interesting, too, because I guess they feel like they can have a rookie come in and make more of an impact than Mr. Gaither, huh?
Well, yes. I mean, offensive linemen could probably the easiest position for scouts to grade, easiest positions for, you can look at offensive linemen. These guys can typically come in and play. Right away. So it's the easiest position for scouts to grade and kind of, put their finger on. Just about every other position could be a crapshoot. But offensive lineman is the easiest position for scouts to grade and kind of get a gauge on where they speculate they're going to go.
I used to think that and running back were pretty much were some easy positions,
yeah,
too, because, obviously didn't know some pass blocking and some of that. But, yeah, it's definitely interesting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Running backs can typically come in to make a huge impact, regardless of where they picked in draft. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. Let's keep it going. Any other interesting news? And I guess I'm shocked about one move, and that's Elvis Dumervil. He actually signs with the Ravens, and I know the Ravens have been taking it, on the chin of the media, but I don't know if this was the right move, Rob. I think this was definitely a money move, man, because I think he was closer to a championship with Denver than he is with the Ravens. I think the Ravens are not going to be that good this year. I mean, obviously, give Newsom credit. They also re-signed former Oakland safety Michael Huff, but I don't know if this is I don't think that's enough to kind of get them to where they need to be, definitely, sir.
Well, I've learned my lesson with counting out the Baltimore Ravens. I really have. This is an organization. I think they have a plan in place, and I think a lot of these moves that have taken place, they've already planned for them. And I think this is an organization that's still going to be very successful, and I think they have the proper leadership in place, and Ozzie Newsome, John Harbaugh. They have the quarterback secured for a long period of time. They still have the running game. And some of their pickups have been some pretty nice pickups. You get Marcus Spears, who can play defensive end and have to be poor defense. You pick up another pass rusher in Elmas Dumervil that could play outside linebacker and have to be poor defense, maybe even some in that 3-4 defense. You have Courtney Upshaw, who can come in and play right now as well. You still have quite a few draft picks. They have a lot of picks in this draft. They can pick up somebody possibly like a Kevin Minter, the Fuller Shoes, or Ray Lewis. To pick up Michael Huff here, I think this is an organization that's still going to be hard to beat. And I think a lot of people are writing them off here a little bit too soon. And I think they know exactly what they're doing up there in Baltimore.
Man, that's your pity, man. I'm writing them off big time, man. I don't think it's enough moves, man. So, I definitely respect Ozzie Newsome, as you talked about, but I think they've lost a little too much, man. So, Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, Ellerby. I mean, you know, obviously you still got Flacco, you still got Torrey Smith, you still got Ray Rice. But I don't know. What's going to be tough for them to kind of repeat, I think. So, you know, we'll definitely see what's going on with that for sure.
It's going to be interesting, man. How about your Atlanta Falcons picking up OC Human Euro? I'd like to get your feedback on your thoughts there. Is it an upgrade over John Abraham or is it not?
You know, he's younger than Abraham, and you hope that he's a little bit more productive because, as you realize, you know, last year he only had 6 sacks. John Abraham had 10. So, you know, I'm not sure if it's a total, you know, maybe more of a swap, if you will. But I definitely think as far as, you know, OC, he can definitely be a team leader. And whoever else we bring in, because I'm definitely going to say that we're going to target another defensive end in the draft, I definitely think that he's going to be a good mentor as far as helping them, you know. You know, he's not the best run defender, definitely more of a pass rushing guy. So, you know, we'll see how the defense starts to take shape because, you know, obviously we got like quite a few picks with some compensatory picks in the draft. So we'll see how it plays out for sure.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Definitely should be really interesting there. And to see how Human Euro, I think the thing that Human Euro brings that maybe Abraham doesn't, he's got good length. He can get deflections at the line of scrimmage. Probably plays the run a little bit better. But he's probably not as good as a pass rusher at Abraham. So I think in a couple of areas, he is an upgrade. But the one area I think he's not is in the pass rush area. Abraham still shows you a little bit of explosiveness coming off that edge. Still surprised no one has picked him up yet. It looked like New England and he had reached an agreement at some point, but that kind of fell apart. And so it should be very interesting to see where John Abraham eventually ends up as well.
You got the John Abraham watch. No, just joking. We'll keep it going for sure. Wow. I'm
not going to lose any sleep on that one.
Yeah, not too much. We got it going. We're doing good, man. So 12 minutes left in the show. Once again, we're going to throw out the numbers to follow us on Twitter. Man, we're having some fun. 424-243-9519. Hit us up at 12 Man Sports as well as following us on Facebook. We've got a lot of things going on. We post a lot of fun things, mock drafts, everything. So we're going to keep it going. Anything else you want to comment as far as any free agency moves, Rob, that you think are pretty interesting?
Well, right now on the free agency front, we're kind of getting into that moment where there's not a lot of movement. It's a little quiet. Teams are looking for deals and value at this point. Most of your big money guys have been snatched up and signed at this point. And so right now there's a few value guys, you know, even some veterans, you know, starting to realize that they're going to have to come down at a price at this point. And so you'll start to see a few of those guys starting to get snatched up here in the next couple of weeks. We still have the Nnamdi Asamoah watch. You know, is he going to go to New Orleans or is he going to go to San Francisco? He's going to be one of those teams. You know, he's still making his decision. Then you have Victor Butler, another guy, outside linebacker, who 4 teams are competing for. And I think another thing to watch here is Matt Flynn. You have the Jacksonville Jaguars, Oakland Raiders, and the Buffalo Bills are all competing for services and a trade with the Seahawks. So those are a few things to watch here in the next couple of weeks. Matt Flynn will be traded before the draft. It's just a matter of who's going to give up the most to the Seattle Seahawks to get that deal done.
Wow. Very interesting. So looks like he may be on the move again. And that's an interesting situation with Mr. Matt Flynn. So I guess it's going to be one at this juncture, right?
Yeah, and I'm still of the belief that this guy can be a starter in the NFL. So I think if you look at all three of those teams, you know, you look at Oakland, you know, they still have Carson Palmer. You look at Jacksonville, Blaine Gabbert. And you look at Buffalo, I think he can go to Buffalo. He's definitely the surefire starter. If he goes to Buffalo. Of course, you know, Jacksonville, you have to compete with Gabbert. In Oakland, I believe if they secure Matt Flynn, they will go ahead and release Carson Palmer, just my opinion.
Wow. Yeah, Carson doesn't want to, he does not want to renegotiate his contract. So very interesting as far as Mr. Palmer. He's been a big disappointment, huh?
Yeah, when you're looking at $13 million, you got to think, is he giving me $13 million worth of productivity? And I think most people running in the NFL would say, no, he's not that type of quarterback at that price.
And it's interesting to see it. You know, whenever the Raiders, they thought they had their problem solved, so hopefully they're not gun-shy as far as dealing, because I'm sure they thought that Carson Palmer was the answer. Clearly, he's I don't think he's ever fully healed from that shoulder injury, Rob. So, you know, it's just kind of an interesting decline for him to see.
Yeah. But his defense, to his defense, I mean, the talent there in Oakland is not the greatest. They don't really have great receivers and things of that nature. And so to defend him a little bit, you know, he doesn't really have the weapons around him. Al McFadden is going to miss 5 to 6 games every year. And so, unfortunately, he just doesn't have the weapons around him for him to be successful either.
Gotcha.
Nor the offensive line.
Yeah, we'll get into some other things. Let's talk about some real quick thing with the AFC West before we talk about the draft. The AFC West, who do you think is going to win this division? Obviously, you got the Broncos, the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Chiefs. I think everyone is going to pretty much say the Broncos without a second thought, my friend.
No doubt about it. I like Denver, but I got a surprise team who I think is going to be second, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. I think their team is going to be second. I think the Chargers will be third, and the Oakland Raiders will bring up the rear in that division. I think Andy Reid is going to bring some life into that organization in Kansas City. They're going to be, I'm not saying they're going to be a playoff team, they're going to be much more competitive. And I think that if you look at their roster, there's a lot of talent on that roster for that team to be successful.
Gotcha, good stuff. Let's keep it going here. Let's talk about some draft coverage here. And a Manti Te'o, you know, we got to keep bringing his name up. He's almost like Tim Tebow. You got to bring his name up all the time. He's been relatively quiet the past couple of weeks here. He just had his pro day at Notre Dame, and he kind of shaved off some time on his 40. I don't think he had an outstanding performance on his pro day, but I think he just kind of, you know, he was kind of like so-so. He actually rejected the invite to the draft. I don't know if you want to comment on this, Rob, but I think this is a good decision.
I actually think it's going to be a good decision, too, because I think the guys that was going to be in that war room, you want those guys to be gone in the first 20 picks. And I'm not so sure he's going to be gone in the first 20 picks.
Yeah.
I know some other draft experts, Mel Kiper over at ESPN, has him going 19 to the Giants. Another draft expert, Todd McShay, has him going 32 to the Ravens. I have him going in the second round of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's I have him going 48 overall to Pittsburgh. And I just still don't see him as a first-round talent. I think he can be a good inside linebacker in the 3-4 defense for the Steelers. In the second round with a second round grade at 48, and he'll be a solid player, but I just don't see him as a first round pick. You look at a guy like Kevin Minter at LSU, just ran a 4.62 and 40 in his pro day today, playing in the SEC. You look at a guy like Alex Ogletree, even though he may have a few off the field concerns. Ogletree, in my opinion, is the best inside linebacker in this draft, and so. You look at a player like, you look at those two guys, I just see those two guys going ahead of him in his draft with Ogletree, the only one going in the first round.
Yeah, good call. I agree with you, too. Definitely, I think the quality of the opponents that Minter and, you know, obviously playing in the SEC and Georgia definitely have something to say about that. In addition to Manti, the one team that that kind of has a pro-style offense in Alabama, or pro-style players, we can still talk about that game till we blew in the face. That's a game that he did not play that well in. So, you know, you don't know if it was just a bad day or if he was distracted or what, but, you know, I think I agree with you. He's definitely a second-round pick at best.
Absolutely, yeah. I still just wouldn't trust a first-round grade.
Yep. Let's talk about some mock draft coverage, Rob. So I'm going to turn it over to you. Anything you want to highlight as far as the mock draft, and you're going to post that on the Facebook page, correct?
Oh, yes, it's actually already been posted.
Beautiful.
I haven't changed my latest mock draft here in the last week or two. Everything's still the same here. And one player to watch is Geno Smith. Right now I have him going number 8 to Buffalo. He's starting to get a little bit of buzz in the top 5. The teams are going to reach for quarterback, even though he's not quite the top 5 grade, you know, but teams will reach for QB. So it'll be interesting to watch Jacksonville. Are they ready to spend another first-round pick on a quarterback 2 years after drafting Garrett? And it's interesting to watch the Oakland situation with Carson Palmer. I believe if they don't get Matt Flynn and if they cut Carson Palmer, I believe Oakland will draft Geno Smith at number 3 if that happens. But other than that, I can't think of one higher than Buffalo at the number 8 position. And a lot of people asking about Tyrann Mathieu here. I have him going in the 4th round of Denver. The Denver Broncos could use some impact players in his secondary. Champ Bailey getting old, can use some help. And the Honey Badger, you know, we'll be in that 3rd, 4th round area. I am going 4th round of Denver right now in that area. But any of you all out there have some questions about any players from any universities, where I think they're going to be picked, call into the show, send us messages on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man, or tweet us at 12th Man Sports. Anybody, you have any questions about Andre?
I'm going to ask him, what do you think about Alex Okafor? I keep hearing this guy's name, you know, kind of on the fringe, but I don't know where you had him going as far as in your thoughts on his impact right now.
Yeah, right now I have him going 41 overall to Buffalo. And so I have him going in the early part of the second round. And Okafor, it looks like he'll be a solid athlete. You know, he could probably play in the outside linebacker 3-4, but I think he's better suited as a defensive end in a 4-3 defense. And so I think that's the area where I think Okafor will be best suited, you know, playing with a team in a 4-3. And I think if you wound up with a team like Buffalo, you're forming a solid defensive line with he and Mario Williams on the edge. You have Kyle Williams and Marcel Darius in the middle. That's a pretty good defensive line. We'll probably be one of the better ones in the league if they were to put that together.
Very, very interesting. Yeah, you're talking about someone that's been, I don't know if Mario Williams has been living up to that contract. So, you know, very, very disappointed if you are a Bills fan. So we'll keep it going for sure. We got about 2 minutes and 37 seconds. I'm going to ask about one more player. I'm going to butcher his name. Is it Bartavius Mingo? How do you pronounce his name?
Mingo.
From LSU? Bartavius Mingo. It looks like he's been kind of like, one minute he's top 5, next thing he's top 20, or what do you think about him real quick and we have to get ready to set up for the OT portion of the show?
Well, I tell you what, this is a guy, a lot of Saints fans are hoping the Saints grab at 15. He's got great speed off the edge, ran a 4.5 at the combine. Didn't run today, pro day, and the main reason he didn't run, he ran such a great time at the combine. He's got the perfect build for an outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense. He's about 6'4". A little bit over 240 pounds, and he's got physique. He's got a sleek physique is the word I'm looking for there. But he's very lean and tall, long arms. He comes around the edge really fast, and he'll be the perfect guy, an outside linebacker in 3-4. He played defensive end at LSU, but he's definitely an outside linebacker in the pros. And I'll tell you, Saints fans are really hoping this way wind up. I have him going 17 to Pittsburgh right now, so I actually have the Saints passing him. There's a few question marks about his strength. You know, how strong can he be at the point of attack on the line of scrimmage? And that could be the only ding against him. But I think this guy is going to be a really good football player. One scout from the Philadelphia Eagles just said today, this guy looks like he's going to be the next Javon Curse. So if you hear a guy saying that, you really want to think twice about passing them up in the draft. But our time is getting short here, so we better wrap it up here real quick. Once again, join us. We're going to be on Wednesday night again on next week, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 Eastern, 10 Central. And once again, follow us on Twitter at Talking Sports, at 12 Man Sports, I'm sorry, and Facebook page. Like us, Talking Sports with the 12 Man. Any comments, Andre?
Nope, you just keep it going. Get ready to set up for the OT portion of the show.
Once again, join in tomorrow. You're sitting at your desk at lunch. Click on the same link you clicked on tonight, and you can catch the OT portion. We got more NFL and college hoops coverage. Good night, people.
Good night, people. And as always, we appreciate you guys listening and checking in. That's what it's all about. The Wednesday night edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Wow, World of Andre Highlights. We're out. Good night,
Peter.
Rob? You like that,
oh,
Rob?
Yeah.
World of Andre highlights? let's keep it going. You know, it's interesting. So you have the Saints passing on Mingo. And who did you have the Saints taking? Because George, all the fans in Atlanta were scared that you guys were going to pick up Jarvis Jones. That's one of the things that we're scared about. But who do you have the Saints actually drafting on your pick?
Well, I actually have the Saints taking Star Latulier from Utah right now at the 15th pick. This is a guy that could be a nose tackle in a 3-4, or he could be a defensive end in a 3-4. And he's now been tested. He's passed all the tests medically. And if you turn on the film and watch this guy's college tape, I mean, he's just dominating the line of scrimmage, just bullying everyone. And I think with him clearing medically now, you can see him kind of sneak back up a little bit. So not so sure he may be available with the Saints. You know, the last time I did my mock draft, you know, there were still some slight questions about him medically, and that's why I had him going at 15. But I think you may see him sneak back up here a little bit into the top 10. And, you know, before these tests came out about him passing a heart condition, there were some people saying he was the number one player in this draft. So you can easily see him maybe sneak back up into the top 5. And but I think if you're a Saints fan, I actually talked to a Georgia Bulldog/Falcon fan earlier today, and he mentioned the same thing to me. He does not want to see the Saints get Jarvis Jones.
Yep.
I have Jarvis Jones going number 9 to the Jets. The Jets need help as pass rushers, and they, you know, cut Kelvin Pace and Bart Scott. They had a hard time getting to the quarterback last year, so they desperately need help as far as getting some pass rushers to that defense. But, you know, Jarvis Jones, he got dinged up a little bit on his pro day. We're running a slow 40 time, so I think there's going to be some concerns there. And I think there's still a few concerns about him medically. So I can actually see him falling a little bit past the number 9 slot with the Jets.
Wow. Interesting. So we'll see. Like I said, that'd be a dream come true for us. No offense to the Saints, man. We just don't want to see that to happen, man. I mean, that's hurting us. I want to make a quick reference about some quarterbacks. And if you would have told me coming into the season that Matt Barkley, I mean, not on the radar, I mean, where do you have him going? I mean, you got a couple quarterbacks from Matt Barkley to Landry Jones. I mean, what's going on with the quarterback class?
Well, you know, it should be really interesting. Right now, I have Matt Barkley being the second quarterback taken in a draft, and I have him going to Jacksonville at number 33, which means he'll be the first pick of the second round. And you know, I think he had a solid pro day today. And I think some scouts are a little bit worried about his arm strength. But I still think he can be a solid, productive player in the NFL. And I actually think he will be a better quarterback in the pros than Blaine Gabbert. I think Blaine Gabbert looks like he's going to be a bust. And I think, you know, you look at a guy, Barkley, even though Gabbert was picked higher than he will probably get picked, I think Barkley has more potential. Been a solid NFL QB. I like him better in the West Coast offense, though, and just because of a little bit of his arm strength. But I think if you go back and look at his junior film, you can see if this guy has NFL potential.
Wow. Good deal. So like I said, I was just curious. I guess we'll be remiss here. I don't know if you want to make any more highlights as far as mock draft coverage before we get into the moment of March Madness. I'm going to let you kind of wrap up your thoughts as we get ready to talk about some more college b-ball, sir.
Yeah, one other note I'll make about the draft, another quarterback I mentioned before on previous shows, Ryan Nissip, quarterback of Syracuse.
Yep.
You know, this guy is creating a buzz as well. And, you know, I know Buffalo off Coach Doug Marrone had him at Syracuse. He's kind of high on him. So you wouldn't be surprised if Buffalo don't take Geno Smith in the first round. You can see him possibly spending a second-round pick on him if they don't get Matt Flynn in the trade, of course. So that's always a possibility. But he's a guy that's creating some buzz. But I think Denver, I have him going to Denver at 58 in the second round to be a future back. I mean, be a current backup for Peyton Manning and maybe be a future replacement for Peyton Manning as he's getting up in age a little bit. So just one other quarterback note here in the draft here. You look at Mike Lennon, I have him going in the third round of Oakland. And you look at Tyler Wilson, I have him going to third round to Arizona. So those are a couple of the quarterback notes from this draft.
Appreciate that, Rob. That's very, very impressive. So, very, very exciting times, and, we'll see how it continues to play on. Let's talk about some March Madness, man. I know we haven't had a chance to talk after this, but, I don't know what to say about the draft, or excuse me, about the – I've been totally thrown off my game, man. So, what do you have to say as far as our brackets? I don't even know what to say about the brackets.
I think everybody's bracket was torn from the first night when Harvard won.
The South came through, did their thing. Gulf Coast, kind of did their thing, kind of knocking out Georgia. Florida, Gulf Coast did their thing. For the first time, you had like a 12-13 matchup. So it's just been very interesting, to say the least. So what are your thoughts, sir? Do you think do you think the top seeds will still kind of sneak in and get a chance to hold off,
Well, you go back to our show last week, we talked about would number one seed be the first knockout. I think we both agreed that Gonzaga would be the first. And I also said that Gonzaga was going to lose in the round of 32, and they did. I had them losing to Pittsburgh, but they wound up losing to Wichita State in that round. And so that's not so much of a surprise. I thought toward the end of the season, the schedule was kind of weak and it wasn't as battle tested. And so I think that was one of my concerns for Gonzaga going into this tournament, and it proved out to be true. But I still think Louisville and Miami is going to play a national championship game. I like Miami to actually win it over Louisville, and believe it or not. So I'm sticking with that. But I'm making a couple other changes to my Final Four. I think Arizona comes out of the West now.
I like Arizona
to come out of the West. And I think they will be the team to beat in that area as well.
You don't think Florida Gulf Coast Atlanta is going to do some things, man? What's going on, man?
I think Florida Gulf Coast is going to lose to Florida. I think Florida is going to have too much experience, and they play the game the right way. And I think the slipper won't fit anymore for Cinderella.
I don't know, man. I think that they're going to amp up their game because Florida is kind of like, they've probably been eyeing Florida this whole time. Like, you know what? You guys think you're better than us? I think they're going to play a pretty good game. So, at this juncture, I don't even know, man. I know it's all fun whenever we watch it, but it's so unpredictable right now. So, it's interesting. So, when you think about Wichita State, man, what you think about them? They're kind of holding off and doing their thing versus LaSalle. What you think about this one?
Well, yeah, this is a game that I like Wichita State in. I think it should be a really good game. I think a really competitive game. These are two teams that are also very experienced. Don't really have any McDonald's All-Americans on their team. But the good thing about some of these teams, their players stay 4 years, so they're able to build a lot more camaraderie. And so they're really able to build up a team. And I think that's what you have here. And so it's going to be interesting. These are pretty good teams, but just don't have the superstars. But I like Wichita State.
It's amazing how whenever you watch the tournament, because at a 9 out of 10 games, the top rated team is going to win. But that's the beauty of March Madness, is just that one opportunity, and it always seemed to happen in the tournament too. So obviously Harvard, they couldn't pull off anything else, but it was just interesting to see them kind of do their thing and play well too. So it's pretty exciting, to say the least, I would say.
Absolutely, it's definitely still one of the more exciting sporting events of the year. And you see some of these little guys come up with these big upsets.
Gotcha. Let's talk about an interesting – you got an interesting note about Ohio State guard Aaron Kraft. He's the Tim Tebow of college hoops. What do you mean by this, Rob?
Well, this guy is creating the buzz. He's hitting a lot of big shots for Ohio State, coming up big in the clutch, hit the game winner this past weekend over Iowa State. And he's just been creating the buzz in college basketball for the spectacular shots. And a lot of people, he's getting such a big name now. And is he the Tim Tebow? Is he the guy that people want to watch and turn on and watch college hoops just like they turn on and watch college football to watch Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I was going to say, Aaron Kraft, he's one of those guys that you can't help but identify with, because he's just a hard-nosed player, very, very cerebral player, plays hard, and is kind of like one of those team leaders, too. And a lot of teams have actually had tapes of Aaron Kraft, and this is how you want to play defense, you know, because he's relentless, you know. So just good to see him do his thing. I don't know if he's going to make it in the NBA, but you definitely gotta love the way he's hustling and a lot of his shot making ability.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't see him as an NBA prospect, but you know, he's one of those guys that's just a good college player. And kind of like Tebow, I mean, I don't know if Tebow would ever be an NFL quarterback, but, you know, but he was a heck of a college player.
You know, I guess you got to have your little cult following somewhere it is, but it's all good. It's all good for sure. Let's talk about college football again, Mr. Johnny Football. The question, has he partied too much this offseason? I'm sure if you tell him, he's going to say no, but I think the question is a little yes. And that's, you know, I know he's a big man on campus, Rob. I think he probably needs to kind of chill out. This is where you're fearful of, you know, freshmen getting that Heisman because, you know, maybe success has come too soon for him and maybe he thinks it's easy and you want him to kind of work harder to achieve the same thing. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen to Texas A&M this year.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. You know, I see where he came out and said he's going to stop with all the tweets and things of that nature. And but I think, you know, he might have gotten a little bit of a big head this offseason. And you have to wonder if his game is going to take a slight fall this coming season as a result of it. And I kind of believe that Texas A&M is going to take a slight fall this season. They're still going to be bold, but I don't think they're going to be an 11-2 team that we just saw this past season. I think you're going to see them come down back to earth just here slightly, a little bit this coming season.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's kind of one of those situations where, you know, unfortunately, you know, whenever you get a big head or something like that, you know, you kind of think it's easy and you want to work harder. So, you know,
yeah.
It made a situation last year where people didn't really know what to expect, and now they kind of know that they're coming. So they're going to have, like, a lot of target backs. They're not going to surprise anyone, and I think they're going to get a lot of their opponents going to give them their best game. So I agree with you. It's going to be tough for them to make a comeback or to have a good season next year.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, he's getting a big head like you, man. I'll tell you about that.
Wow. Whoa. What is whoa? The world of Andre Highlight. I love it, man. Don't be jealous. I guess anything else you want to say before we get ready to wrap up this edition? We got about 2 minutes left in the show. We appreciate everyone listening to the OT portion of this and on this special Tuesday night edition of Talking Sports for the 12th Man. I don't know if you want to say anything else, Rob, as we get ready to head into, once again, the next week's show.
Once again, we thank you all for joining us on tonight. We look forward to it. Once again, next week we're going to be on Wednesday night again instead of Tuesday. So please join us at 10 p.m. Central, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. And for our good friends in Germany, that will be Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. We still have a lot to talk about. NBA season winding down. We will be talking about the Final Four come next weekend. And we'll also, of course, we still continue to discuss NFL free agency, NFL draft, and might even dibble down into a little spring football here in college football. So we got a lot to talk about, so make sure you join us next week. Once again, look us up on Facebook, Talking Sports for the 12th Man. Like us on Facebook, and also follow us on Twitter, at Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We have lots of updates, lots of things going on in the sports world. And we will keep you abreast of what's happening. So once again, join us next week. Any closing remarks, Andre?
We appreciate everyone listening in. And I didn't want to – we didn't get a chance to talk about this. I know we had two coaches that got fired, Ben Howard at UCLA and Tubby Smith at Minnesota. Very surprising moves for Minnesota, I think. But we'll have some time to talk about that next week too because, you know, Shaka – Smart, his name always gets linked in to some job openings, so I don't know if we got some time to talk about it in like a minute, but we should talk about these moves real quick, Rob.
I think both of those firings were huge mistakes, and I disagree with them, but that's the nature of the beast, though, of course. Shaka Smart will stay at VCU. He's already announced it, so he won't move to UCLA or Minnesota. I'm not sure he's the right guy, the right fit for UCLA, but he could have been a good fit at Minnesota.